1 Corinthians chapter 13. I sent out an email to the church family, the church members, to let them know about where we scheduled the business meeting. And I think I spoke to most of you as well. We're going to host it next Wednesday night. And that we'll have a few extra things in place and hopefully a few extra people here. hopefully some will be over the flues. And we've got a few that are looking to become church members. We got four, so they're going to be giving their testimonies on Sunday. So that will give us the perfect timing then to have the meeting on Wednesday. Okay, well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. And we'll stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll read the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. I'll read if you follow along. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come across this passage here as we think about our main text in 2 Peter chapter 1, adding that last layer to our foundation. Right on top of brotherly kindness fits charity. Lord, we pray that each one of us would evaluate how charitable we are to people. Lord, help us to foster a love. Help your spirit to foster a love in our heart for people, whether they be brethren, whether they be unsaved. Lord, that we would love people, care for them, that we'd be genuine, not just putting on Christianity. Lord, help us as we examine this area. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. So we're thinking about our text in 2 Peter chapter 1, which says there, and besides all this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. As we think of verses 8 and 9, we want to be fruitful, don't we? I sure hope each one of us has a goal, a burning goal, to be a fruit-bearing Christian, a fruitful Christian. Remember, you think of the scripture, it talks about some that, bearing 60-fold, 100-fold. We don't want to just be one for one. We don't want to have a negative balance. But we need to actually bear fruit. A tree that, and the scripture talks about, Jesus talked about the trees that cumber the ground, that don't bear fruit. And if you have a tree that's not bearing fruit and you've done everything you can to try to amend the soil and do whatever it takes, maybe put an antifungal side on it, but at the end of the day, it's still not bearing fruit, you are most likely going to cut it down, unless it has some other value, some sentimental value, some shade-bearing value, or something else. And some of you know we did that with a cherry tree that, you know, would have 4 or 5 cherries every year. That was it. You know, and you're like, this thing is in the way, and it's all it's doing is, you know, bearing those 4 or 5 cherries. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, it did not go outside of its root ball, and that was the problem. It wasn't going into the soil for some reason or another. It might have been likely a fault of our own, but maybe didn't amend the soil properly, dig a deep enough hole around it, or whatever, you know, to put in proper soil. Whatever the case, that tree had to come down. And actually, it wasn't that hard to take down either, because it wasn't anchored, which, of course, is another reason why a believer is supposed to be anchored, right? But we are to be fruit-bearing Christians. He doesn't want us to be barren or unfruitful. You know, you think about most married women, they hope to have a child. And you know, many the Lord blesses with children. Then there are some that the Lord just withholds the fruit of their womb. And we have examples both in our own lifetime, but we have examples in Scripture. We think about Hannah, who was barren for a good period of time. We think of Sarah. We think of Elizabeth. In those cases there, the Lord did see fit to give them children. But they were barren for a time. And, well, we don't want to be barren Christians. And in verse 9, he says, the person that lacks these things, they're blind. They can't see afar off. I don't want to be blind, spiritually speaking. If the Lord was to allow me to go through the valley of physical blindness, then I will go through that valley with his strength. But when it comes to spiritual blindness, I don't want to be in that category, forgetting that he was purged from his old sins. See, when we are purged from our sins, we were sanctified, we're set apart for a purpose. Remember, we are a peculiar people. We're set apart. And we're set apart for a purpose. And so if we're going through life barren, then we're not fulfilling God's purpose for us. And again, we are blind. Done a little bit of a study on the words that we have used here in our text in 2 Peter chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Adding to patience, or I'm sorry, it's verse 7. Adding to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And that word there, brotherly kindness, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, is that word Philadelphia, which is related to phileo. And that word there used for charity is that word agape. They are both translated love in other places. And we trust that the translators, when they were translating our King James Bible, they used the appropriate term. They used the right one. Sometimes you'll see people that will go and they'll say, well, charity means love, so I'm gonna basically put love in its place. Well, those words were put there for a purpose. Some words in Scripture are interchangeable, and some are based on its context. And what I understand about charity is that it is sacrificial love, where we're actually giving of ourselves. That word agape is in Scripture, I believe it was 107 times, roughly 107 times, 106. And the word charity in the English is there 24 times. And so each of those words, charity, they do come from that Greek word agape. Mentioned 2 weeks ago about how the Lord in John chapter 21, we can take a look there in John chapter 21, he used the word agape and phileo, And I'm not trying to build a case here. Some, you know, will build a strong case for the difference in the words being used here. I do believe there is some significance here, but in order to really know for sure, I'd have to do a very in-depth study of the Greek to know. But I do believe there is some significance, particularly as we see that word Philadelphia, which is related to phileo, is used in 2 Peter 1, 7. That's the sixth layer on top of the foundation of faith. And then that word charity, which is that word agape, is the seventh. So there is a distinction between the two. You know, so in John chapter 21, verse 15, we read, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.'" And you probably know the distinction there. The Lord Jesus says, "Lovest thou me?" That word love there was agape, which is that the strongest sense of the word love. And Peter doesn't answer back with, "Yes, I agape you." He answers back with, "Yes, I phileo you," that the brotherly love, the word used for brotherly love. And so in verse 6, he said unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Again, same two words used. Jesus using agape, Peter using phileo. And then the third time, interestingly enough, verse 7, he said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Now there, the Lord Jesus says, "Do you phileo me? Do you have brotherly love for me? Do you truly have a brotherly love for me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I do have a phileo love for you." So I don't know. I'm not going to build a five-point message on this, but I do believe there is some significance to the words that were used there. And I wonder, well, why wouldn't Peter respond with the same word? I think maybe Peter learned a lesson when he boasted and said, "Lord, though all men forsake thee, I will stay with you, even if it means me dying." And Jesus says to him, "You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows." And three times Jesus denies him, or sorry, Peter, pardon me, Peter denies Jesus prior to the cock crowing. And you have Jesus here three times asking Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And he wasn't being mean, but he had a message. He had a question, and Peter said, "Yes, I love you." And then Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Next time he says, "Feed my sheep." And he says, "Feed my sheep." And there's significance there as well, as far as the lambs, feeding the newborn lambs that need the sincere milk of the word, feeding the sheep that need the meat of the word. So we have the difference between these two words used here. Now let's go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to try to really come to grips with what charity is. So that's not just a nebulous idea floating out there in our minds. From the perspective of a chapter, this is my favorite chapter of Scripture. Absolutely love it. I have a few favorite verses here and there, but this is a favorite chapter. It's my whole goal, and I'm not always successful at it, at being charitable, but it is my goal to be charitable. Just before we even go into this, you know, sometimes it's a challenge knowing who to be charitable to, how to be charitable to them. And that's where it comes into the leading of the Holy Spirit, where we need to pray and ask the Lord. Yeah, I got to thinking about some examples in Scripture. One that kind of stood out was Joshua and the princes of Israel. The Gibeonites come to them and said, "Oh, we're from afar. You know, it's so good to see people finally. We've been traveling so long, and our food's grown moldy, and our, you know," all those stories they had for them. And they wanted to make an alliance, a league with them. And the Scripture says that they didn't ask of the Lord. They did not inquire of the Lord. The Lord would have surely told them, these are your neighbors. But they said, oh, sure, okay, yeah, we believe you. And they were charitable towards them. And they agreed to be in league with them. And, of course, that ended up having to, you know, they ended up having to fight for them in certain times. But there are times when we have to just determine, what would the Lord have us do? I was reading a story, maybe some of you have read it, I think it was on Info News today. A story that's made me say, well, I never ever want to be a landlord to rent out a house. There's a case out in, I think it's in Lethbridge or somewhere in Alberta, where a lady had rented a house, and while renting, she allowed her ex-husband to set up his camper in the driveway of the home. But then she left, but he didn't. And now the landlord, you know, has rented out to somebody else, and the landlord's trying to clear his driveway. And, you know, you think about what is the charitable thing to do? Well, I think I know what the charitable thing would be to do there. What's that? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the landowner even called the police, and the police said, you know, you actually can't be on the property because you haven't given him the 24 hours notice that you're going to be on the property. He has tenant rights, even though he doesn't pay he doesn't pay anything, and it's going through a long court process now. And somebody on the comments, a lot of people were saying, you just need to hook that up to a truck and tow it away. But some of them, others were saying, oh, you got to be nice to people. And people should be taking people like that into their homes. And I'm like, I wonder if they would do that. What's your address, ma'am? We'll drop the trailer off in your driveway. So there's a balance. And for us, the believer, fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit. That's where we're supposed to be led of him and say, Lord, show me what you would have me do. And there will be times when the Lord will impress upon us to step out of our normal operating sort of rules of operation. And the Lord will say, this is someone you need to help. And sometimes we'll say, well, I don't have the means to. And the Lord will say, well, don't worry about it. I will provide the means. And then there are times where it's an emotional response. And we have to be so careful. Remember, we are a three-part being, and 1 Thessalonians gives us the order, spirit, soul, body. Let's always be spirit-led. Let's not be led by emotions. That's part of the soul. Let's be spirit-led, and we can respond with kindness and emotions and empathy towards people, but let's be led by the Holy Spirit. So, yes, there are those times where we're moved to help somebody, and we need to go before the Lord and make sure it's a spiritual leading, not an emotional leading. So going into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So we have in the first three verses a list of things that a person may have, qualities, some good qualities, and yet they lack charity. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, says here, if you lack charity, then you're nothing. There are certain things in life that will wipe out our good deeds. You know, a person can be the epitome of a humanitarian, and yet they can really mess up in one area, and they're written off by the world. And that is why it is so important for the believer to maintain our testimony, so that we're not with one hand trying to do good, but with the other hand we've canceled out the good that we have tried to do. So here he's talking about someone that can really speak, someone that's an orator, someone that is charismatic, that can captivate people's attention. So you have that, the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know that bell that we have for lunch? I think of that as a tinkling cymbal. It's not exactly a pleasant sound. It's not like a dong, dong, you know, it's a melodious thing. It's a tinkling cymbal. You wouldn't want that in some sort of a orchestra or a bell choir. it's annoying. It doesn't do anything. It has no value. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Remember, God doesn't, he doesn't call us to be super good in one area and say, well, it's okay if you lack some of these other areas. The Lord, see, the scripture says that charity is the end of the law. It is something that every believer must have. We can't say, well, but you know, we're in a body of Christ, and this person here, oh boy, they're so good at being charitable, I'll leave it up to them. We are all called to be charitable. We're called to in all of our interactions with our family, with our co-workers, with the neighbors, with people in the street, we're called to be charitable. So here you've got in verse 2, this person that is super spiritual. You got verse 1, the person who is super eloquent and yet doesn't have charity. You got the person who in verse 2 who is super spiritual. They've got all these gifts of prophecy. And honestly, of course, we're in a different dispensation right now. We're not in that apostolic era. We don't have prophets. We have the completed word of God, which we see in the second half of this chapter. That knowledge will vanish, and that's speaking about prophecy. Tongues will cease. But honestly, in verse 2, a person can't have the gift of prophecy, even, you know, back in that day. God's not going to grant somebody a gift while they are in sin in another area. There were a lot that may have thought they had that gift. So even though they have the faith they could remove mountains, they have not charity, I am nothing. Now we have the super sacrificial person. In verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And you're saying to yourself, but isn't this the epitome of charity? Sacrificing? Feeding the poor? But sometimes people have a disconnect. They're willing to dole out money, but they're not willing to be charitable towards people. They feel, well, I've done my part. I've thrown money at the situation, and they ought to be happy with it. And that's discordant. That's like, you know, notes that, you know how you'll have notes on the piano if you're playing them that are discordant with each other. Or maybe two people on different violins screeching, you know, a discordant note. And you're like, ah, run away. Well, that's what the person who is doing all these actions, but yet they're not charitable. It's discordant. It is not pleasant to the ears, and it's confusing. See, the Christian is called to be consistent. He says here, even though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So then what is charity? Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. So what does it mean to suffer long? It means to put up with adverse situations in life. That suffering long can be suffering long with difficult people. And in life, you're going to do that all the time. You're going to have difficult people in your sphere of acquaintances. Might be a coworker. might be a boss. It might be a neighbor. It might be a family member. It might be a friend. It might be a church acquaintance. Whatever the case is, there are times when you'll have people that will you'll struggle with them, dragging you down. And the scripture says we are to suffer long. We're to show kindness to them. We're to suffer long in the sense of putting up with difficulties. Might be physical difficulties. Remember, we looked at the area of endurance, patience. And we are to suffer long. We shouldn't be saying, Lord, but this has been going on so long. Why is this continuing? Why do I have to keep doing this? Second Corinthians 6:6 says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Take a look there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Kind of jumping into the text there. We'll start off at verse 3. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. So you notice there, the long-suffering. Suffering long. That's the same thing, just a different word usage there. We know that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is long-suffering, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Suffering long. We don't like to suffer, do we? But if the Lord puts a trial and a test into our life, then we've got to walk through that door, and we know what the products of that are. Think of Romans chapter 5. This is a passage I frequently think about sometimes when I'm going through trials. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I'm not there yet. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I say I'm not there yet. I hope to be one day there. I think I can say that I've looked back on tribulations. I shouldn't say that. I know for sure I have looked back on tribulations and said, thank you, Lord. I see what you did there. I didn't see it in the middle, but now I see what you did. But I have a harder time in the middle of a tribulation to go, oh, thank you, Lord. I don't know what you've got planned here, but I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm not there yet. Maybe some of you are. But usually in the middle of it, I know that Lord's doing something. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what lesson you have to teach me. You know, I'm trying to help out. And again, this is an area where sometimes we have to really evaluate charity and what it is. And is the Lord calling me to be charitable in this situation? You know, some of you know I'm trying to help a friend sell his car. And this has been a Romans 5 sort of a situation. It has been a trial that I wouldn't have guessed it would have been. And it just problems and missing documents and, you know, this and that. And it's, I've been saying, Lord, what are you teaching me here? I think I was telling Emily today, I was like, you know what? I think if someone, maybe the Lord knows that someone in the future is going to need to sell their house, and they're going to come to me and say, could you help me sell my house? Unless you're my parents, I'm going to refer you to a really good real estate agent. But I don't know what the Lord's trying to tell me in all this. But I'm listening. So suffering long. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing, putting up with. But you notice there, putting up with one another in what? In love. See, the charity is not going to actually work for us if we don't, first of all, have a love for people. We have to have a love for people. Otherwise, we're faking it. Sometimes people think they can fake something and get away with it. You can't fake it. Or you certainly can't fake it for long. You know, I had a EMT student that was having a crisis, and she wanted out of the EMS field. But she said, I want to finish this off. I want to get this done, and then I'm just going to leave it. She said, I can fake it. I can make it look like I'm enjoying this and that I like this field. I said, no, you can't. Your preceptors are going to know exactly. We work in stressful situations. And if you know now that you can't do this, this is the time to leave. Don't keep going. We can't fake things. We can't fake love. That story has nothing to do with love. It has to do with being pretending to be something that one is not. I had a friend that a number of times, some years back, he would lament to me and ask me for prayer and say, you know what, I struggle because I don't have a love for people. I know I'm supposed to have a love for people, but I don't. I don't love people. And you know, we need to have a love for people. Remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if he so loved you and me, we have a duty to so love every other person. And that goes for everyone in our church family. It goes for people we meet on the street. Just to love them, to have a genuine care, compassion for them. Now, remembering that, even, you know, that even having a love for a person is not going to mean you're always going to then give to them. You might be approached by someone and they're asking you for money, and you've got a pretty strong suspicion that money is going to be used for drugs or alcohol. And you know, you might just say, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And you might have the time, maybe you can go buy them a meal or do something else for them. But having a love for people doesn't always mean that, okay, now you're going to go and give financially or do these things for them. You can still say, you know, I don't have any money that I can give you, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about the love of Jesus that he has for everyone? You know, however you can segue into that conversation. You know, you think about Peter, silver and gold have I none. You know, that man at the gate asking for money. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. You know, he tells him to stand up and he heals him. We have other things that we can offer. I mean, very often it'll be spurned. You know, some years back there, I've mentioned this before, but some years back I went with Maritza. We were bicycling out by the mall here, and we came across some people that looked like they were homeless, and I went over and started talking to them, and I gave them all tracts, and then one of them said, so do you have anything for us? Do you got any food or money for us? And I said, or no, they said, do you have any money for us? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. And they all said, oh, here's your tract, here's your little brochure back. You know, and so then I said, well, you wait here. I'll go get a rotisserie chicken. So then I brought them some food, and then I witnessed to them while they were there. And so you will find quite often, people will only have one thing they want. So we saw here that we're supposed to have long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So let's have that love. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Again, about long-suffering. But here we have another added bonus. We're told here something. So, Well, back up to verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. I notice two big things that stand out there. So we are strengthened with whose might? His might. His. And you notice there the word unto. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto the patience and longsuffering. So you notice we're strengthened with might unto longsuffering. So this is something that we are, that the Lord gives us. You don't have to do it in your own strength. You won't be able to do it in your own strength. It will your own strength will only take you so far. But then you also notice strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and joyful or long suffering, with joyfulness. To have a joyful spirit while doing it, not a martyr's, like I've got to do this. God's called me to this. I have to suffer long for this brother or this sister, even though it pains me. But that we do it with joyfulness and say, Lord, I need your help, I need your strength, and I also want your joy while I'm doing this. Help me to cheerfully suffer long with this person, for this person. Same book, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be thankful. Boy, all those things that come together with being charitable. Those brothers or sisters, if you will. You know, putting on the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. And as we're going to see later in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, humility. Humbleness of mind. Humility is something that we must have in order to be charitable. We can't be proud, lifted up, and still be charitable. Some people try, but it's pretentious, really. So we're to forbear one another, forgive one another, even as Christ forgave us. And we see that charity is the bond of perfectness. That word perfectness usually means completeness. It means spiritually mature. When something is complete, it's And that's where we're aiming. So we're aiming to be complete in Christ, to be spiritually mature. Well, we leave you those thoughts and encourage you to evaluate your own charitableness. And do you have the spirit of charity? Do I have the spirit of charity? It's something each one of us needs to question. And it's not something that we can ever stay. We can't get to a point in our life and go, yes, I've reached charity. Because, you know, I've known people that have been charitable in their younger years, and then as they've gotten older, I don't know, they've become bitter, they become jaded, they've become more kind of brittle. The Lord calls us to have that charitable spirit, and that's something that we need to have till the day the Lord takes us to be with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I pray that you'd help us to put on bowels of mercies, love and charity, Lord. Help us to be long-suffering with each other, long-suffering with the people that we meet day to day, long-suffering with circumstances, trials, and tribulations. Pray for humbleness for each one of us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us not to fool ourselves into thinking that we can be good at something else and neglect charity. Lord, help us to tap into that strength that we read about in Colossians chapter 1. Strengthen with all might unto long-suffering, unto charity, though not spoken in that very verse, but Lord, we know that we are strengthened with might for that purpose. Lord, we know it's not in our own power, it's yours. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go to prayer. Help us to remember the requests we need to bring before you. Be with those in our church family, Lord, who are sick and ailing. We ask for healing on their lives now, on their health. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.